91X News.
It's 2 degrees and snowing at noon. Good afternoon, I'm Sam Norman. Quinte Broadcasting is hauling in donations for the Adopt-A-Child program, and there are about 1,300 kids in need this year. Matt Goodman is a co-coordinator for the Adopt-A-Child program, and he said they have a new motivator for donations.
This year we can give out tax receipts through the Salvation Army. We haven't been able to do that in the past, and so far we're getting a lot more people helping out, knowing that they're going to get something back at tax time. So if they do make a donation, we can just give the information to the Salvation Army, and they will issue a tax receipt.
Goodman said about half the donations are cash, averaging about $125. The other half of people call and get a child's first name and sizes to buy clothes for. Quinte Broadcasting has about 12 shoppers who go out and spend money donated on clothes for kids. The power over where and when and how many wind turbines will be built in Prince Edward County is now up to the province. 91X reporter Nicole Kleinstuber has the voice.
Prince Edward County Mayor Peter Mertens is disappointed with the vote against amending the Green Energy Act. Conservative Todd Smith put forward a private members' bill giving municipalities more say over where turbines could be built. But last Thursday, the Liberals and NDP voted against giving municipalities that power. Prince Edward County Council called for a moratorium on all wind turbines set for the county last February. Merton says last week's results are disheartening.
For the vast majority of members of the provincial legislature, not accommodating necessarily, but taking into account the needs of the municipalities of this province, I think is a very bad sign.
Merton says residents are upset as well.
So they're obviously disappointed because they saw the private members bill as an opportunity for the municipality to get back involved. And in their terms, getting involved meant shutting it down.
Merton says the council is back to square one and will be working with wind proponents. Nicole Klinstaber, 91X News, Belleville.
A massive Ottawa drug bust has seen 22 people face a total of 226 charges following an 18-month in police investigation dubbed Project Sleepwalker. The arrests were made during 20 searches this week, 16 in Ottawa, 3 in the Almonte region, and 1 in Toronto. Ottawa police say the raids netted $2.5 million in assets, cash, precious metals, 13 vehicles, and 14 firearms seized. The 22 suspects range in age from 21 to 60. The charges of possession of controlled substances for the purpose of trafficking in cocaine, heroin, and methamphetamine. The excitement is brewing as a student government has worked hand-in-hand with Airmark to get the hours extended in the cafeteria. Nick Liard has the story.
I am uber excited, yeah. I can't wait, because I work in the library as well, so I'm here late, and Subway can only have it so many times a week.
That was student president Chris Barnum showing you that not only are they excited as a student government for the extended hours, they are also excited as students. So far, discussions between Airmark, the company that runs the cafeteria, and the student government have been pretty open.
I mean, from what I know of Pierre and Airmark, they're certainly willing to work with us, so that's the main thing. So as long as we can have that communication, I think we'll meet probably in the middle with them.
The extended hours will be put into place January 9th when students return. Now, instead of the caf being open only till 3, it will be extended to 6:30. For QNET News, I'm Nick Liard.
A tornado relief fund in Godrick has exceeded its goal. Officials say the fund has raised more than $3.7 million, surpassing the goal of $3.5 million. They say it could reach $10 million with provincial contributions, although that has not been finalized. A tornado hit the community last August, killing one person. Police say a raid on a North End Toronto apartment uncovered a weapons cache that included a fully functioning grenade launcher. In addition to the grenade launcher, officers also seized a replica AK-47 assault rifle and a large quantity of ammunition. Police say the investigation is ongoing. No arrests have been made. Iranian TV is showing pictures of a U.S. drone, an unmanned spy plane that was lost earlier this week, but the Pentagon is being extremely tight-lipped about the drone. More from ABC's Paul Beban.
The question is, what exactly does Iran have? There is no doubt that the loss of this drone is a stunning loss, as one U.S. official told ABC News. Officials first thought it was a fake, but they now say it's real, that the drone had broken apart, and that Iran probably reassembled it. They say the design of the American drone tail and what Iran is showing do not match. Bottom line, though, this is a huge blow for U.S. intelligence.
The more than 2 minutes of footage shows Iranian officials inspecting what State TV identifies as the high-tech RQ-170 Sentinel drone. Occupy Calgary protesters have packed up their tents. The remaining members of the group left Olympic Plaza early this morning, hours before a court-ordered deadline. They left behind some signs and a large metal sculpture. A Calgary judge earlier granted an injunction requested by the city to have the protesters remove all tents, structures, and other material from the downtown site by 2 p.m. The injunction also forbids the protesters from camping in any other park or land owned by the city without a permit. The group, which had been on the site for nearly 2 months, was recently boosted in numbers by some protesters evicted from their camp in Edmonton. Defense testimony continues today in Kingston at the murder trial of a Montreal family accused in 4 deaths. Mohamed Shafia, accused of killing his 3 daughters and first wife, is expected to take the stand for a second day. Yesterday, Shafia portrayed himself as a loving, benevolent, and lenient father whose children were cruel. Shafia, his second wife, and their son are accused of killing 3 teenage Shafia sisters and Shafia's first wife. The 4 bodies were found in June 2009 inside a car submerged in a canal in Kingston. That's 91X News to 1205. Tim Baer has sports next.
I love my hair, and that's why I want to take care of it. At A Main Affair, they understand that and pamper their customers with the best in hair care. With top quality products from Redken and expert stylists, it's easy to find a new style or even make your style better. Visit amainaffair.ca for more info and book your appointment by calling 613-962-2159. Because
at A Main Affair, your hair is their passion.
Good afternoon, I'm Tim Baer with 91X Sports. 2 Canadian communications rivals are actually teaming up for a change. Rogers and Bell are combining to buy a 75% share of Maple Leaf Sports and Entertainment worth $1.32 billion. MLSE owns the Toronto Maple Leafs, Raptors, Toronto FC, the AHL's Marlies, and the Air Canada Centre. The share was bought from the Ontario Teachers Pension Plan. Rogers already owns the Blue Jays, the Rogers Centre, and broadcaster Sportsnet. Bell also owns a minority of the Montreal Canadiens. The Belleville Bulls just couldn't solve Yaroslav Pavelka. The Windsor Spitfires goaltender had 41 saves as the Spits outlasted the Bulls by a score of 2-1. Malcolm Subban had 29 saves for the Bulls in the loss, which snapped their 6-game win streak. The Bulls' power play shot blanks all night, going 0-for-6. The Bulls are in Plymouth tonight for the second of 3 road games in 3 days. The Napanee Raiders blew a 2-goal lead in the third period and then lost in a shootout to the Picton Pirates by a score of 4-3. Dylan Mountaineer and Ryan Sizer scored in the shootout for the hometown Pirates. Kyle Copeland was huge in the Raiders' net, turning aside 60 shots. The Pirates widened their lead in the Empire B Junior C standings to 7 points with 33. The Raiders picked up 1 point with the shootout loss, but are still in last place with 20 points. The two teams will meet up again next Tuesday in Napanee. If you want to know what Sidney Crosby had for breakfast this morning, look no further than Facebook or Twitter. Anthony Bumbaco has more.
While websites such as Facebook, Twitter, and many other online blogs have existed for a while, they have only recently become popular in the world of sport. But with this new online technology, it begs the question, what impact will it have on professional sport as a whole? In 2009, Hockey Night in Canada reporter Elliot Friedman asked Washington Capitals owner Ted Leonsis for his thoughts on social media.
I think it's imperative that you have to embrace these bloggers and use the social networks to your advantage.
Recently, social media networks have become much more popular in sport. This is a trend that a sales representative, David Manuel, of the Acadie Bathurst Titans in the Quebec Major Junior Hockey League believes is a positive from a marketing perspective.
Facebook, Twitter, MySpace, any kind of social media is free advertising for your business.
Over the last few years, both the NHL and NFL have incorporated policies restricting players from tweeting before, during, and after games. Sports fan and Loyalist College student Aaron McRae does not think leagues should police social media.
I don't think the league should have to babysit everything that the athlete's going to say.
David Manuel disagrees.
If they don't want to train their players or give them a session on how to use Facebook and Twitter and any other social media aspect of in today's world, well, that's ultimately, yes, it falls on the league's responsibility.
Although there are both pros and cons to these social media networks in the sports world, one thing seems certain. They are not going anywhere anytime soon. Anthony Bumbaco, 91X Sports.
Send us your team or league scores. Email sports@91x.fm. That's sports. Here's Sam Norman with 91X Weather.
91X Weather. Today, cloudy, a few flurries beginning early this morning and ending this afternoon, then 30% chance of flurries late this afternoon. Wind becoming southwest, 20 kilometers an hour early this afternoon. Temperature steady near plus one. Tonight, cloudy with a 30% chance of flurries early this evening, clearing this evening. Wind southwest, 20 kilometers an hour, becoming light early this evening and a low of minus four. Saturday, mainly sunny, wind becoming west, 20 kilometers an hour in the morning and a high of zero. It's at 12:09, it's 1 degree. 91X on the air and online at 91X.fm. I'm Sam Norm with Tim Baer. News is next at 1:00.